came down with the same dilemma I was in last Lord's Day, not knowing where to go so much as, or not knowing what I might need to skip, leave out, or where to go. And I didn't get that solved last Sunday, before I didn't get into anything that I brought with me as far as other verses. And again this day, I came back with the same passages concerning Noah's day, wanting to look at that in Lot's day, and wanting to look at a passage in Ezekiel. But just sitting there, and I don't even know if I'll let this be sent out. Don't know if there'll be anything in it. Just sitting there thinking, if you would turn with me to Isaiah 26. This is skipping completely away from that I hope one day to get back to. Because if these are not as the days of Noah were, and these are not the days as in the time of Lot, I don't want to be anywhere on earth when those days come. If this is not the little season then you can discard much of what I have told you. Surely it is, or it is, or we are nigh unto them. That little season when Satan is loosed, and one more time he has the same freedom that he had prior to his being bound. That was done at Calvary. He was bound for 1,000 years. Therein, do not look at a calendar to try to figure out God's time schedule. Sometimes he might use a day as being a 24-hour period. Sometimes the scripture might have spiritual application to it. So Satan being bound at Calvary by the death of Christ and has been bound due to the preaching of the gospel, been bound for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, he is loosed out of prison and once again had the authority and power that he had prior to the death of Christ. Every nation on the face of God's earth set in darkness, except Israel. They were all in his bondage. Now there were some in other lands beside Israel that were brought into the family of God. Naaman, the leper, Rahab, the harlot, in the land of Canaan, and different ones. But for the most part, God's church in the Old Testament was made up of Jews. Now, being loosed, he has gone about to deceive the world once again. You know, the gospel began in Jerusalem, made its way to the continents, there, then across the Atlantic. And in Acts, when Paul had that vision of that man in Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us," he knew God was sending him there to preach the gospel. That's where our forefathers were prior to coming to America. And the apostle evangelized them, and as they, under persecution, spread to find another land where they would be free to worship God according to dictates of Scripture and their own conscience, they found, moved to this land. And there is no place else. All the isles have been covered with the gospel. All the continents have had the gospel. They have had that light, and that light has been rejected, and God put it out. The heathens in the jungles, in Africa, and other places at one time had the gospel. And the light was put out. Folk, it doesn't take long for a church to become non-existent. In less than 100 years, after Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, was formed by the Spirit of God and His Word, all of those churches in Asia Minor in less than 100 years, the candle had been removed. They no longer had the light. And the Antichrist, the many of them, were already in John's day. So the gospel moves through a land. It is received. God saves His people in that land. And then that land goes back into heathenism. Now, because we have made such advances in science and medicine and technology, you would think that this land could not go back into darkness. Well, that's not true. Whether you will admit it or not, we are living on the very brink of hell. And hell itself has all but covered the world. Before I read this passage, I would turn your attention to a lighter note. On Tuesday evening, a little after sunset, within an hour after sunset or thereabouts, if you will look towards the north, northwest, out at your place looking somewhere towards Birmingham or a little further north, you will see that which has not been for 2,000 years. A lot of folk think it was the Star of Bethlehem, but Venus and Jupiter will come so close that it will almost appear as one bright star. And if the weather is permitting, it may be so bright that you will think it's an airplane. Some of those coming out of Birmingham or Atlanta that have not shut off their takeoff lights. I tell you that no great event will happen. The world won't end, or not because of that, but that you might focus one more time on something in the heavenlies to get your heart and your head a little above all that is going on about us. Just look up and see if we will be permitted to view that phenomenon. If you got binoculars, that would even be better. Look at that and see if you can find in that something that might be spiritual for your heart. Well, would you bow with me as we seek the Lord, whether or not we go on in this or what we do today, that His will be accomplished. Our Father, the one thing that we're beginning to find out in our heart of hearts is that Thou art in heaven. We're finding it to be so, not because we have been told, or not because we have read that that is Thy dwelling place. That which heightens where you are is that within us which has brought us down so low. Poor, earthbound, helpless, and depraved sinners. And every time we would try to do that which is required of us, and we make an honest effort, few are the times that we might get anywhere without distraction. And one moment our eyes are elevated to view Thee, and the next moment that thought is in our head of that we must get done. Of the pressing needs upon us in the day. So we are, at best, poor creatures, feeling that poverty within. and that helplessness. And without thee, hopelessness. And yet all the time, we are in the awareness of that our hearts are crying out to thee. Leave us not in this state. Deliver us. Help us. In the awareness of the great apostle, oh, wretched man that I am. And if we ever make that statement, religious folks immediately begin wondering, what sins has he or she committed? What have they done? Lord, it's not about what we've done. It's about what we are. Oh, wretched man that I am. And in that the heart cries, who shall deliver me from this body of death and from this body of sin? And there we must lie, and there we shall die. If the Spirit of God raises not our eyes to see one between a holy God and a hell-deserving sinner. One that took my sin, called them his. One that died in my place. But before he died, he spent 30 some years in a sacrificial mode of living so that nothing here was ever about him. It was about his children. Fulfilling the law in its entirety. For thou, O God, are so holy that you cannot look upon sin. And there was that great divide between a holy God and a sinner by birth and a sinner by action. A great gulf fixed so that none of Adam's seed could ever enter glory. None of them. If a way had not been prepared, if thy holiness and thy justice had not been satisfied, and that it was at Calvary. I've just got to find out if I was included in his death. If on his chest bearing that dress of the high priest, was my name there. And now, Lord, I come in the behalf of some here who do not know, some here that give it little thought, and some here not old enough to entertain such thoughts. Be merciful. And would you, oh God, fix us that we might be before Thee right, holy, and that in this place or in this body of people, we might begin to experience birth into Thy family, into Thy kingdom. Direct us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 26. I guess beginning at verse number 12 is really not a good beginning place here, but this is one of the changes as to the language. Isaiah 26:12, Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. Sin, the devil, my flesh, it was my boss, my lord, your lord. It determined what you did, where you went, how you acted. Other lords have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Listen, dear ones, they are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Now, folk, that's a strange thing to know the chastening hand of God. It's all but gone. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. That's descriptive of our day. In another place, Isaiah asked the question, shall one be brought to birth and not have strength to bring forth? Sometimes we might see just a little bit of conviction, just a small amount. But there's not enough strength to bring forth. And shortly after the service is in, the conviction is all over. And they're back as they were prior to entering here. No deliverance in the earth. Been in pain with child. No birth. Just brought forth wind. 19 and 20, 21 really. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. That's the resurrection of Christ. That's the resurrection of the church in Him. For you and I were dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead. We had not the ability to initiate an act that might bring us to God or put us in the family of God. Dead. If Lazarus hears Christ's voice, something had to give him life. Dead men can't hear. Dead men can't get up out of a grave. And ever what evangelism has done in the last 100 years that has produced a system where dead men can act upon the gospel, it is not the way of God. And I would be as well served preaching in the cemetery up the road as preaching here if God doesn't grant life or help you to hear. But in the resurrection of Christ, the church rose. Now you've got to find out if on that first day of the week morning you rose. First, there's got to be created within your soul a desire to want to know if you got up. And And then as time passes on, you will begin to find out that you are seated in the heavenlies. You rise. You are given time when this old world has little attraction. Short-lived it will be, but you will at least find out that you're not like the sparrows or robins hopping around on the earth. But as an eagle that soareth, and is only satisfied with live kill. They will not eat that which died of itself. Of what the law said, if it dies of itself, you can give it to those that are not in your nation, but you can't eat it. You can let it feed somebody else. And they, the children of God, shall mount up with wings as eagles. And the only nourishment, God, to help your dear heart, the only nourishment that you'll ever find is in the death, the body, and the blood of the Lord Jesus. All right, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Blessed, Christ said, are the poor in spirit. And that is that they have absolutely nothing within. Nothing. They know that they can do nothing. They know that they have nothing. And in no way present themselves before a holy God. That's poverty of spirit. When you've got absolutely nothing. And the only dwelling you know about is the dust. You are as the old serpent, cursed by God, that shall lick up dust all its days. But if you find out the actuality of poverty, you got reason to sing. Ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The earth, The nation, don't want to have anything to do with you. Now, folk, due to what our Supreme Court did, as Larry said, another big nail in our coffin, did that which sound reasoning cannot justify. Did that which brute beast won't do. Throw out the scriptures. Nature itself teaches you that it's wrong. And yet, how they could arrive at that decision I don't know other than this. Almighty God sets up the powers, ordains, puts them in office, and you rest assured that He has had no man up there in the last several years, and never will have again, one that is a statesman. Politicians will be all that you will ever have that have the authority over you. And then when they passed this law, and he said, it is time for religious people in America to move ahead from where they are and get out from under this old bondage of what they believe and become tolerant and acceptable, God has visibly and vocally manifest again His judgment upon the land you live. And there will be a day when our doors will be shut if we refuse to marry a couple of the same sex. For we are breaking the laws of our land. Can they be saved? Yes. I know it is the last in that of a of depravity. But Paul said to the Corinthians, such were some of you. But now you're justified. I don't know if any of them will be saved. But I just know that there's coming a day when you won't be able to gather as a people holding strictly to the Word of God as inspired and infallible. It is outdated. And the highest court in the land, I said it's okay to that which sane minds, nature itself, and brute beast all tell you it can't be. There'll be one place for you. Be it in your basement. Be it out under a grove of trees that nobody knows about. There's going to be one place. And whether it looks like it or not, whether there is absolutely no evidence that it can ever be, There's going to come a day when you are going to need Christ. And someday, God's going to put us in such an awful fix that there will be absolutely no way out except He come and deliver us. That's what's going to bring Christ back. When all the armies of the world gather against
Christ's church. Right now they don't know who we are. They don't know who you are. The politicians and the world cannot distinguish between you and one that belongs to the harlot system. There's absolutely no distinguishing marks in their eyes. And the governments are going to come after these mega churches and multi-million dollar salary pastors. You know that Preacher Dollar in Atlanta has asked his, I can't remember, 120, 180,000 followers to give him this much money. And he's by their donations, purchased a jet, $65 million jet. Because people are so blind that they give to these men. Well, what's going to cause the beast to turn on the harlot? Money. What's America's problem? Finances. You can't make money out of paper and not have something to back it up. And they're coming after the harlot. Beast, she has rode the back of the beast for over a century here, has been given freedom as to paying no taxes and government, the beast, is, well, he's getting fed up with it now, but he's going to kick her off. And the armies of the world are coming after her to destroy her because she has stolen, she has lied to them, has cheated them. And when they get through with the big churches, they're going to turn on the smaller ones wherein Christ's little body of believers are. And right before they get to them, Christ will step out of glory to save. But before that time, things are in the making for persecution. And you and I, the only thing that we can do is irritate folks a little bit. And as the old monk in the last century said, it is impossible for a martyr to be in this society. We just irritate folks because there's not enough authority in our preaching and not enough of the Spirit of God to bring conviction that it creates a mob that will kill you. That's going to be again. And one day you'll have no more place in society And here's your safety. Verse 26. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Folk, we can't undo what's been done. We can't make any changes in government. We can't vote in. We don't have the power in a vote to vote in a right person to office. And you're just going to have to bow to it. I know you don't like it. You're just going to have to bow to it. For the most part, keep your mouth shut as far as, of course, none of us have public hearings, so. But you gotta find out where this chamber is. And you gotta shut your door. That is, that you do not let the practice of the world in the generation before me and in my own early years, these people were hidden, were afraid to come out in public, were shamed into hiding. But when God begins to lift that which restrains, then they come out. And now you're the one wrong for not accepting them. Not being tolerant of them. And you got an old brand of religion that condemns such lifestyles. And society, well, probably already, but in 20 years, society will think nothing about it. There'll be none to condemn it, because we will have accepted it. And surely, it must be all right, or God wouldn't allow it to happen. Shut your door and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. That moment may be a long time, but in the whole scheme of God's plan, it'll be a moment. It won't be as long as Christ's trial, cruel mockings, and death. Such suffering and shame as you'll never know. That was only for an hour that he gave the wicked one and the powers of the world time. This is your hour. Do whatever you want to. So our time will be a moment until the indignation be overpassed. I've never watched, I've seen advertised these movies of life after the earth's destruction. Until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. Right now, long-suffering, patience, putting up with,
not lifting his hand against. That's his place right now. Be going to rise one day. The long-suffering of God has amazed me over the past years. As I think in my own self how much God's put up with. And it amazes me that God lets this nation exist to the extent she is existing today. Let's go in, dear ones. The Lord's coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Are not all people that live upon planet earth the inhabitants of planet earth? In the sense of the use of the word in our English language, you have to say yes. But though you live here, and though you draw your living from the earth, if you are his, you are not an inhabitant of the earth. You belong to a heavenly city. And God one day is going to destroy all that live upon the earth, because they live for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover over her slain. Revelation 18, and I'll close. Revelation 18, speaking of Babylon, the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That's a harlot. And that's what she's given to the world. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. And Lot started out. The angel laid hands on him, drug him out. And he said, could you let us go over to that little city? And God agreed. And when he saw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that which is abounding in our land, he did not go to that little city he wanted to go to. He thought God had destroyed everything on the face of the earth. And his daughters thought the same thing. If we don't get our daddy to sleep with us, we are the end of humankind. They standing afar off, looking at a fall. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchants of gold, silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, fine wood, all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood, brass, iron, and marble, cinnamon, odors, and ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And she has gathered them in. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein. Lord said, you better hide yourself and find that little chamber, because I'm coming out of my place to punish the inhabitants. He causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And the wound and the chains handed or that bound Satan till the gospel had made its way around the world was loosed, given a deadly wound at Calvary, kept chained, but his wound is healed. Perilous times, I could say shall come, perilous times are upon us. You better find out which world you are an inhabitant of, which society you belong to, because when God stands up, it's too late for all of us.